You got a lot of sausages, certain things that just come to their head and...
And it chips it away again!
Toby Flood!
God's sake! He pulled my scrub cap off and he squirted water in my face and you're not allowed to do that!
Shut it off! Shut the confidence up!
What a joker!
Good morning and welcome to a very sunny Stavanger. The start of the NC7s is kicked off. We're in the second half now of the first game against Stavanger versus Bergen. Score is currently 24-0 to Stavanger. Bad to be 30-something now. Benji's on the wing, which is good. But welcome podcast. We're here with Ed.
Sorry, Benji just did the most unnecessary goose step. He was already like 20 metres clear, then he decided to do a little goosey for literally no reason.
So he's straight into the action. It's myself and Ed. We're actually coaches of the Waistdye Bar Bars today, which is really exciting. But yeah, Ed, what's how are you feeling, buddy?
All good. I just want the team to arrive. most of them aren't even here yet. In fact, when G is the first player here from Blinden, then you know there's an issue with timings.
That's going to be a bit nervous about that, but he is here, so he's done everything he can.
He is, yeah. No, we'll look at mate, honestly, I think it's going to be a great day.
Yeah.
Some really good rugby, I think. Five Blinden boys coming up, quite a few Stavanger players. We might have a special edition in Nathan a bit later.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot to look forward to.
Yeah, man, it's looking good. They've got the kiosk, there's going to be a barbecue. There's kids playing in the background there, having their training session, which they're going to join and watch after. We've got women's teams. Everyone's looking forward to a really good day and an even better social. We're going to try and keep you posted and talk to some people on the sidelines.
You'll be able to see how inebriated we get throughout the day based on our voices and accents.
Yeah, well, we're not drinking just yet, but yeah, we'll have a go. But yeah, we're looking forward to this one, guys, and we'll get some views and opinions from people from the sides as we go. Okay, so it's the Waistdye Bar Bar's first game. We're playing against Kristiansand. Rival game here because Jack's obviously been playing. He's just given the ball away on a tap, I think. This is giving it to us. Gee's going in here now hard. Johnson's picking the ball up, anything can happen. But yeah, the boys are looking quite good. We're about 3 or 4 minutes into the game. Ed, what do you think so far?
Really good, really good composure. Johnson G running the show at the moment for us. Jules with some nice passes. Alan from Stavanger with a great try. Really good, really, really happy.
Yeah, really good composure. We said to the boys, like, yeah, just keep the ball. If we keep the ball, they can't score. But they're two quite heavy set teams playing against each other, but the sun's shining, it's looking good. So, yeah, up the Bar Bars. Okay, Adam Pittside here with some beautiful men, the ones that make it all happen on the day, our beautiful officials. Seb of podcast fame from before, he's used to this kind of stuff. And we have Roman as well, they're both beautiful men. But yeah, guys, I'll start with you, Seb. How's the day going so far and what are you looking forward to?
Apart from my fitness, which is not yet there, it's a very nice weather, so perfect day for rugby.
Remind you a bit of Argentina here with the sun shining in Stavanger, eh?
It feels like a little bit colder, but yeah.
Nice. And Roman, how's the conduct of the players been so far, the games that you've officiated?
I think that's been fair so far. First game, I think everybody getting de-rusty from the long winter, but exciting to be here, sunny, and yeah, rugby day, so it's a good day.
Awesome, awesome. And like I always say, these days can't happen without you boys. But you guys going to be involved in the third half as well?
Yeah, we're there.
Definitely with you, Adam.
Awesome, awesome. I'm sure I'm going to get a yellow card in the bar. So it's all good. Thanks, guys. Right, we got the boys here pitch side after the game against the Bar Bars against Kristiansand, i.e. Adam and Ed versus Jack. Got Jack standing next to me. He's looking very well in the worst strip that Ed has ever seen.
Also looking quite pissed off, to be honest.
Yeah, you look a bit despondent there, mate. How's it going? You're right.
Yeah, good, mate. Yeah, all good. Everything's good. I played really well. It was all good.
Yeah.
Nah. The guys did really, really well. We first game was tough, trying to have a good team. But I just told them, we'll just try and work on a couple of things and just get better each game.
Yeah.
And this game was about getting on, being better on defence, marking up, playing the men, not the ball, not flying in from the wings. And I thought we did that really well in this game.
You did.
We've got some big lumps who can run. and Anish, the boy who scored the solo try off the kickoff.
Yeah, man, that was amazing. I mean, he was giving it something.
He is a big boy. He is a big boy as well.
He's a big fucker, and that he can run really fast. Jesus. He's got a big long stride, and he's really good.
He's
so
galloping.
So proud of that. I did something I'm not too proud of.
Should we go into your little halfway line incident?
Well, we don't have to do that. We'll talk about that later.
We'll keep it positive. We'll keep it positive. But at the end of the day, mate, like I've alluded to before, we need more teams coming down and being part of the setup to make the whole rugby in Norway better. And I'm just so pleased to see that you've brought teams to a tournament, and that's amazing. And they obviously all love it. I think I've said to you before, just try and keep it positive. Obviously, you're the main man driving that forward. So, what's the attitude, and what are you going to be saying to the boys before the next game?
I don't know if we've got Stavanger next.
I think so.
Yeah, so that should be an easy game. Nice, easy game to come next time. Now, we're just going to... I think every game is just building, just getting better every game.
Yeah.
Focusing on, I think, defence, we're looking much better that game. We haven't had the ball really at all. I made a mistake when we should have had the ball. We drop it when we've got the ball. So I think we're just trying to keep the ball for a bit is going to be the key. I'm going to ask Stavanger if they don't have to compete too hard at the ruck, so we can get some clean ball. But we're just making, it's just, rucks are tough, mate, and we're making a lot of mistakes at the ruck. We're getting penalised a lot at the ruck. And, you know, sevens as well, if you've got one or two good players at sevens, it, because of the space, it really shows the class difference between people.
Yeah.
And obviously Johnson ripped us apart in that game. But I think if it wasn't for him, I think that was an even Stevens game.
I think for me it was a really even game, to be honest. Mistakes from both sides, but like some nice rugby from both sides as well.
We defended really, really well.
Yeah,
the difference in the first game and that game was absolutely enormous in terms of how we went and how we did it. So we just need to keep playing and going good. We've got a good break now. We'll have some lunch, and then we've got the walkover, Stavanger walkover, and then I'm targeting the Bergen game at the end.
I just want to say thank you for repping the Blinden socks as well. Yeah, cheers, mate.
I'm keeping it real.
Stavanger shorts and shirt is enough. I'm not putting Stavanger socks on as well.
But you're staying over for a few beers tonight. You're staying at mine. Yeah, we're going to do the Nutella sandwich. Awesome. More on that as we come. But keep it going. As I keep saying to our boys, it's all about. I'm not really worried about the results too much. It's all more about the attitude and having a good time. And I think that's shone through so far. So that's all good. We'll catch up with you later.
Wayside Podcast. Good morning.
Oh, fuck off.
This is the weirdest experience, but also one of the best. I've woken up today, and I've turned to my left, expecting the beautiful face of my normal beautiful person, which is Baruta. But I've turned, and it's someone even better. Make yourself known.
Oh, it is Ed, and can this be like a sex therapy session? Because you tried to mount me about four times last night.
Did I? That might have been because you have like double the size of the tits of my missus.
No comment.
And also, you have like 100% bigger penis than her as well, which is nice. And then you walk across the little gangway, because my apartment is like ridiculously small. And then I look at where should be my son, but is the son that I want, is this guy.
Good morning, Norway. It's Jack from the Waist High Rugby Podcast. I didn't get mounted by Adam, thank God.
The morning is still young. Oh, he has boxes on, else he would have got mounted immediately. How are you feeling, Jack?
Feeling all right, feeling a bit sore. It was a pleasure to be in the pub yesterday with the King of Stavanger. And it was a good night, class night, mate. Good stuff.
Man, I'm just looking. You've got some bruises on your arm there. Like, there was a couple. There's like four little bruises and then one massive one. You were putting some big hits in yesterday, mate. But, like, credit to you. But, a bit sore today. Is the head sorer than the body?
About the same, I think. But my bruises, mate, are bruised like a peach. So it doesn't really mean anything. I reckon someone just poked me and I got bruised. Good, mate. Good.
You've also got the arse of a peach as well, which is very nice. But back over to the ginger gentleman who I tried to mount.
The two guys who didn't play were probably still just as sore.
Yeah, probably more so because of what we did on the after social than we did on the pitch. But yeah, well, what did you think about the day yesterday, Ed, on reflection?
Oh, God, you're getting me at my weakest. Unreal day. I think to sum it up, Stavanger have set the bar in all sevens tournaments moving forward. Yeah, but it was fucking class.
You're here first, from a guy that has been tried to be mounted by the most handsome guy in Norway.
The King of Stavanger.
Apparently, I'm the King of Stavanger now, which is nice. Just because I've got a tattoo, I think I bought that right. But yeah, it's been good. We'll fill you in.
Yeah, and after that, that crazy night and morning, we're back in the studio, joined by Adam and Jack. Hopefully all the hangovers are cured by now. It's been about 4 or 5 days, so one would hope. Yeah, Jack, how are you?
Good, mate. Bit sore still, but holding up. More sore from the night out afterwards and what Adam did to me in his house than the actual rugby. But we don't have to talk about that on the pod. That's yeah. Just between me and my therapist and the police.
Adam, how are you doing, mate?
Norwegians have a wonderful word that sums up the day after drinking called full angst. And I think Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, I was full of the full angst, which is great. For those who don't speak Norwegian, it means drunk anxiety, which I think sums up the beer blues, which we would call it in English. But now, good, mate. Yeah, I think I got over my hangover just this morning, which was good because it was a very good night, but which I'm sure we'll go into. But yeah,
I had to go straight back out on the Sunday.
Oh, mate, that's brutal.
So I landed in Oslo, and then I came home. I was at home for like 2 or 3 hours. I had a quick nap, had a shower, freshened up. And then like my friend was leaving Norway for good. He's like going off sailing for like God knows how long, basically. So we had to go straight back out. They hired out like a restaurant where his girlfriend was working. So we had like this closed off restaurant to ourselves and a free bar. And yeah, it was a bloody long day.
Did you have home office on Monday, yeah? Or were you in Brighton early 8 a.m? No snapping comment. Necks and cashing checks.
No comment on that. but yeah, I think, like reflecting back on it, I was thinking about it yesterday and a couple of days this week, I was looking back at the whole tournament. And I think, obviously, we'll get into all the rugby and everything like that. But I think first off, like, I really want to say a massive thank you to yourself, Adam, to Glyn, and to your is it your president? Is it Alex or Adam? Alex?
Yeah, Alex Smith. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you guys have put on a hell of a show. Like, you really did, from everything from like the barbecue that you provided, all the food and everything else to the music to the social afterwards. I really it was such a good weekend, and I think you guys have really, really set the bar in terms of how to host any tournament, whether it's league, union, sevens, nines, whatever it is. So yeah, I think you guys should be really proud of that.
No, mate, that means a lot, because there is a lot of work that goes in. It's not just me, Glyn and Alex. There was a lot of people behind the scenes. It did a lot of work. It took quite a bit of planning, but we've been lucky to kind of have a bit of a formula that works now. So we got a spreadsheet where we get people, volunteers, to sign up for slots on the kiosk, and people to do this job and this job. So, you know, many, many hands make light work, and everyone just kind of, our aim was to put on one of the best tournaments, and I think we did a good job. I was really proud of the effort that people put in, but the proof's in the pudding, another cliche as it is, but I got so much good feedback as well from people there, and it couldn't happen especially without the people that actually turned up, and it seemed like everyone was having a great day. So the hard work you put in, it means everything when everyone loves it and people coming up to you in the bar and saying how good it was. And yeah, it was just a great celebration. I love having all the community together, you know. It's really good. And hopefully Jack, the guys from Kristiansand there, being there for first tournament, what was the feedback from those guys?
Yeah, I think Kristiansand Rugby Club's over now. Don't think it's people weren't happy about it, mate. Didn't like it at all. What? No, it was awesome. No, it was great. Everyone was absolutely buzzing.
and those the people who had never, the people who didn't sign up for the social, who was kind of their own thing going on, but really regretted not turning up to the third half. The lads loved it. It was great. Everyone's buzzing. We're just looking forward to the next thing now. So obviously we didn't have training on Wednesday because of the red day, but looking forward to getting to training next week and building on this, building on the first tournament and first win for the boys.
And what a win that was.
Yeah.
What a
win. It was class, mate. It was, yeah. It was class. We didn't expect that. I didn't expect that. Always helps to have a bit of French flair on your team. But no, I thought the boys did so well. And Beat, the president, bless him. He obviously, he's the one who started this rugby club. He's the one who's put in most of the work and to get it off the ground and to get people to training and stuff. And for a while, it was just him on his own, just running around on a Monday or whatever in the snow. And to go from that to competing in a NM, well, not an NM, but a national tournament against proper teams that are big clubs that have been going for a long time and winning against one of them and playing in that game as well. He was, like you said, after the game, he said he was as happy as a pig in shit, and I think he'll still be smiling now. So it was great. No, it was great to be there and to not just make up the numbers as well, to actually put a shift in and get a win was extra pleasing.
So just to kind of very quickly go through your fixtures. So if I'm right from memory, you played Trondheim first.
We played Trondheim first. That was that was a big win for them. They got some really good players, and it was our first ever game. We were a bit shell shocked, I think. We didn't really.
Yeah, I think they were quite fresh out of the blocks and that. Which one?
Yeah. And then we played you boys next, waist high bar bars.
Yeah.
And we got Johnsoned. But I thought that was a lot better of performance, that one. I think
It was a close score.
It was, yeah. It was close until the end where Johnson sidestepped me about four times and then ran under the post. So I'll take the blame on that one. And then, third game was Bergen. And I told the lads, I was like, we had Stavanger last, and I basically said, I don't give a shit about the Stavanger game. This is our final. This is our proper game. This is the biggest game that we've had so far as a club. And everyone just pulled it out their arse and did so well. I started with the biggest team possible, just an un-sevens team. And then we just tried to get Tom the ball in space, basically, and defend really well. And we did, and we won it quite comfortably in the end.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's like I said after the game in the clubhouse. Like, it's so good to see another team coming, and I'm just so happy that. Me and Ed were saying, like, watching you guys, that each game you got better and better, and we found that with our team as well, Waystyle Barbars, because obviously we had a few more experienced players, but they hadn't played together, so it just, you could see like the progression throughout the day, which was really, really pleasing for me. But like, just from a whole kind of community point of view, it's so good to have like another team involved, because that culture will just grow and grow and grow. And you've got like, talking to Bea in the bar after, like, he's such a legend, absolute legend. He just absolutely loves it, and like that kind of enthusiasm, it's so infectious. Mm-hmm. And I can see now why people are getting around it, and so hat off. But how did you think the Waystyle Bar Bars went, Ed? Or you do the summary of that.
I've really, really good. We had five guys from Blinden, and then originally we had three guys from Stavanger, and then I'll get into that more later, but we had a 3 or 4 minute cameo from your coach Mike, who I tell you what, that was probably the cameo of the season already, I think. First up, we played. Our first game was actually Kristiansand, and I think that was really good for us to kind of get a win under the belt straight away. As Jack said, like, Johnson just doing Johnson things all over the pitch. We didn't really have too much structure as a team. As you said, Adam, like, we'd just come together. But I think you know, the experience did show a little bit. Like, we just had a few players who have played quite a bit of rugby in the past, and I think that showed. But yeah, then after that, we had quite a long break. And then we played, I think we played Stavanger next, if I'm not mistaken. And I think that was a game where Stavanger were even saying to themselves, like, this is the one where we could slip up, which is a, you know, huge compliment to us. But it turned out to be quite a one-sided score, I think, especially after the first half. I think first 7 minutes, we kept them quite close. And then I think it was like 3-1. And then second half, yeah, they just kind of ran away with it, which is a shame. But, you know, it's what happens when, you know, Stavanger clearly, I know you'll talk about them, Adam, but like, they've got a very clear game plan, a very simple game plan, but they're very well drilled in that. And I think you could really, really see that on the day. But yeah, then our third game was Trondheim, which is where we had Mike come on for a cameo. So Mike is the Stavanger coach, the Stavanger Sevens coach. And he's a small little Aussie. And he came on, he started, and he played 4 minutes, scored 2 tries, and then pulled a hamstring.
That just sums up Mike's playing career. But I've always said that from day one, Mike's probably the best player who's eligible for Norway that's never played for Norway. We used to call him, back in the day, we used to call him Machete Mike, because he used to play 13 outside me at 12 and the Nathan at 10, and he'd just get the ball and he would just slice through defenses like unreal. Like, he is like just a ridiculously good player. He's like played Waratahs Academy, comes from really good pedigree, and when he said he fancied a run, I was like, okay, well, if we get a half out of him, I'll be amazed. But
what was funny though, when that second try he scored, he kind of like, he was playing nine and he literally just did the most outrageous dummy, drew the defense out, then the gap opened up and he just went straight through. You could see before he was scoring, he was like pulling up, his leg was like coming up, and all the Stavanger boys on the sideline were like laughing at him. Like, basically, like, yeah, we knew this was going to happen. This is like typical Mike.
yeah, true. So, yeah, then Trondheim kind of then went away with it, didn't they? And after that,
yeah, last game, Trondheim just, I think, you know what, as you know, we had a team which was mostly forwards, and to add on to that, they were probably mostly front rowers. So, you know, at the last game of the day, the beer is on the horizon. I think people were just a bit tired and looking forward to that cold beer at the end of it. But yeah, they gave absolutely everything. I'm super happy with the Blinden guys that came down. Yeah, played really, really well. And, you know, we've got the next tournament now in just under a month in Oslo. And we've got about 20 signed up for that already. And I think it's really helped me as one of the coaches at Blinden in terms of how we want to play. So I'm really looking forward to this next month now and going into Oslo.
Yeah, it was almost like a training session for you, being around a decent coach, you know, me showing you the ropes and how things are done, mate. So you take that back to your club and...
That's it, Adam. Next time you see me, I'll have the full mullet. I'll have a Blinden forearm tattoo.
Yes.
I just want to say shout out to Jules and Ava. Ava, who plays for Stavanger Ladies, and Jules, who obviously plays for Blinden. I don't know if you want to tell it, Ed, but those two are committed to rugby in Norway. They are some of the most committed people I've ever
They're
seen.
So committed. They had friends in Oslo, and this, like, their friends, they planned this trip for like a month, right? And then, so they had like friends staying with them in Oslo from France, and they still came. What was actually really funny is, so Jules was like, yeah, I'm coming. I'm only staying, like, literally, I need to leave the minute the last game finishes. I'm getting a taxi back to the airport. So he arrived on a flight on the Saturday morning. But then, like, when Adam and I arrived at the pitch, Sagan and Ladies were just rocking up as well. And, like, I was helping Adam with a couple of bits, and I just heard this, like, French accent speaking in English. And I was like, Ava? I was like, the fuck are you doing here? Like, I thought you were meant to be in Oslo. Like, you've got friends staying over, right? And she was like, yeah, but, like, it's rugby. I need to be here. And, like, she took the night train from Oslo with all the Stavanger girls. And I was there, like, surely you just wanted to come this morning with Jules and spend the night with your friends who are traveling over. And she's like, no, I don't trust Jules with travel. So I was like, fair. And yeah, they literally played. I think Ava got a bit of a head knock in the first or second game for them. And then, yeah, they went straight back to the airport and flew back to Oslo and undoubtedly had a night out themselves. So, yeah, fair play. So committed. So committed. I love it.
Well, that's brilliant. Hopefully they're a bit of an inspiration for any of the other Oslo-based players that don't travel as much. Hint, yeah. Hint.
Yeah. Wow, just say it, Sagre.
Yeah.
But no, Adam, how, you know, I know obviously you were coaching with us, but how do you think Stavanger did in terms of what you were training and how you played, and yeah, how was it for them?
Yeah, I was really proud of the boys. They looked very dominant, and I think the tactics that Mike's been kind of putting in place in training really came to fruition in that game, in that tournament. So our kind of structure's been up since sort of like the start of February. We do like skills and fitness on a Monday, and then Wednesday we've just been playing games, like literally full pitch, full games of sevens, touch sevens, and sometimes we progress into a grapple sort of thing. But just being able to play with different combinations, like, because we've been having like anything between sort of 18 to 25 down at training regularly. So we'd have like Mike would pick what he would call a first team, and then everybody else would be on the other team, and then we just play full games. And I think there's no better way to learn sevens than to actually play sevens, you know, as opposed to doing drills and all that kind of stuff, because there's nothing like playing chaotic and stuff. And I think that really showed its way. For me personally, I'm kind of like a bit nervous now about trying to get back into that sevens team, because the boys did put in a really good performance. But like, it's like when we were kind of like showing our guys before we started, because we had a bit of time, didn't we? And we were watching Stavanger play, and it was the game plan. It was nothing like special, and it isn't anything special, because sevens doesn't have to be anything kind of too complicated. It's not like 15s where it's like a chess match. It's literally ask the questions, and this is what Stavanger did, was literally ask the questions on the wings. If there's nothing on, have the composure to take it back and try again on the other wing. And then in between, there might be some gap opening up in the centre. And if someone goes in, they've got that support. And yeah, I was just really pleased to see that no matter who they had, because, you know, I do see sevens as a bit of an individual sport as well, because if you've got like fast players, and it really helps, and it's a fitness thing. But there was no one that they slotted in from the bench that didn't do the job, because everybody knew the pattern. So if they knew that they weren't a flyer and they weren't going to get around someone, they did something about it, or gave it to someone who did, or made sure they got it in the hands of a flyer. So I think it was a very coherent performance. I think they dominated every game they played, actually. So hopefully, yeah, it's a sign of good things to come. So yeah, I was really mega proud of the boys on the pitch.
Are they going to be putting out a strong team for Oslo?
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah, I hope so. We've got. We haven't confirmed the final numbers yet, but boys are making travel plans already and accommodation plans and stuff. So hopefully we'll have a decent team. I don't think we'll have two teams, because we did try and aim to have two teams for all the NC7s, but I think we're just going to have the one team there. But I'm sure we'll travel strong after that good convincing victory at the weekend.
Yeah, and pains me to say it, because it's you boys and it's the banger, but yeah. You all look class. You could tell with some teams you could pick out not a weak link, but you knew who to run at, or who it was all right if they got the ball. But with Stavanger on that day, especially playing against them, it was threats from all over the pitch. And you could tell, yeah, every person looked dangerous with ball in hand. Everyone had good skills. You didn't make many mistakes, and yeah, like you said, you did dominate every game, really. Trondheim gave you a good go in the first half, as well as the waist-high bar-bars. But when you've got gas like Benji out wide, it's tough to... And you've got gas like Benji out wide, and you've got players that can give it to him in space. Yeah. It's tough to cope with. I know that Trondheim obviously had Jakob, who I think it was between... For me, anyway, for the men's side, it was between Jakob and Benji for player of the day. I thought both of them were excellent, but Jakob was in the middle a lot more because he was the best playmaker, but also the best runner. So it was tough for him to get the ball out wide in space. And when he did, he just ran around everyone. So you guys were really good, really really good. Yeah. It's going to be interesting with a full noise Saga and a full noise Blinder, and hopefully Trondheim travel down well for that. So that's going to be interesting.
I can't wait for Saga to pull out of their own tournament.
But one thing I did want to make a note of was we had a guy called Josh who we've talked about on the pod before. I don't know if you remember when we did the rugby league thing. I did actually do a little interview with him and said he's one for the future. He's actually 16. He got permission from his parents to play in the tournament and played for Stavanger and actually scored 5 tries over the tournament this last weekend. I thought he was phenomenal. Like, that boy is good. Yeah, he is one for the future. Like, well, he's here now, but you know, he's 16. You know, some of us have got like 20 odd years on him in terms of age, but he was brilliant. And he's a good inspiration for any youngsters that want to get involved. You know, he had that confidence, and he wasn't a fish out of the water at all. So yeah, I mean, in terms of like, yeah, we had some decent players there, but he slotted in for a 16-year-old. Oh, that was phenomenal.
Looks definitely older than Benji as well, still.
Yes,
that's not saying a huge amount, though, really.
Poor Benji.
But no, yeah, he was really good. And I just want to shout out our 16-year-old as well, Chris, who turned up and he put Kip's sack and Robin on his ass as well with one of his carries. He did really, really well. Both of them are playing in... against Sweden, aren't they, this weekend?
Yeah, I think they've been named in the team for Sweden.
Yeah. Mm. Before we move on to the next thing as well, I think obviously the men's tournament was dominated by Stavanger, obviously, and then Trondheim a solid second. Mm. And then thanks to you boys losing the final game against Bergen, we came last, and then it was you, and then it was Bergen all on one win. But the women's was... To win it was a lot more interesting. It came down to scoring a try right at the end, didn't it? Of the last game.
Yeah, so I think Bergen needed to beat Stavanger in the last game by 23 points. And I think with about 30 seconds to go, they were winning by 19. I think, and I think they got over for the win. So, because I remember we were chatting in a huddle, and then all of a sudden just couldn't even hear myself talk because the girls were just going absolutely crazy, and I was like, "What's going on there?" And yeah, but credit to them, those girls they went really hard, and the girls rugby, there was a good standard of rugby on show there as well, which was fantastic, and I believe they had a national training camp the next day with Bill actually as well, so. Credit for them getting up with sore heads and going at it again on the Sunday on a tough session. So credit to them.
Yeah, but I just wanted to say as well, it just goes to show, like, for anyone like listening out there, or like, you know, who plays sevens or coaches sevens, it's genuinely the thing that won it on the weekend was simply the simplicity of which Stavanger played. In my honest opinion, like, you just did the basics very well. You got the ball out to the wingers. You stuck to your plan, you made your tackles, you waited for the other team to make the mistakes. And it was genuinely like sevens in the simplest form. And it's really, as you said, Adam, as well, it's really not a difficult thing to do. So I would say for any club out there wanting to improve at sevens, genuinely just try not to go like and be a different team or anything like that. Just play really, really simple and do the basics well and right, and you'll win. Or you'll win games. I'm not saying you're going to win all the tournaments, but you'll win and you'll get better.
Yeah. But just to add to that, it's like a lot of the people there at the weekend were probably 15s players playing sevens, and 15s you're just drilled to go forward. In sevens you don't always need to be going forward, and sometimes if you're going forward too much, it's actually to the detriment of the team. So like, you know, you can just stop and just pass, because if you take a couple of if the first receiver takes a couple of steps, then he passes it. Then the second receiver is then under a little bit more pressure. If he takes a couple of steps, the third receiver's got no space whatsoever. So you're better off if you're not going to go. This is what I was trying to say to our team at the Bar Bars, like through the day. Don't be half pregnant. You know, you can't be half pregnant. You either do or you don't. So like, if you're going to go, you go 100 miles an hour. If you're not going to do anything, don't do anything. And that means just catch and pass. It can be the best thing if you know you're not going to do anything. And I think that's what's been drilled into us in Stavanger is like, basically, right, we're going to ask the questions on the wing. So that means the first two guys are basically a catch and a pass. And you've got to have that composure to do that. And especially when you start getting tired or you start forgetting where you are, you become a busy fool. So you see some guys who are like getting the ball and running as hard as they can with as a first receiver. And it's just, then it just breaks down everything. You know, you want to set deeper. So when you're doing a scissors in sevens, for example, you do it like 5 meters away from each other. You don't do it like you do in the 15s, where you're literally taking it and almost bumping into each other. Do you know what I mean? So there was a little kind of a few tips to take away if you're sevens, but it is hard getting out of that mentality of all going forward in 15s. But very proud of Stavanger for that.
Nice. Awesome. Well, yeah, I think overall we can all agree it was a great weekend. Really, really enjoyed all aspects of it. Adam, to you, thanks for putting up with Jack and I and everything else. But yeah, looking forward to next year and obviously looking forward to a lot more sevens to come. But that is not all. This weekend, there's quite a few things happening. So I think first, the under-18s, as we alluded to a minute ago, are going to Sweden to play a game over there. The rugby league is kicking off, which we can talk a little bit about with Jack. But then Adam, you've been named back in the side. You've recovered in time to be vice captain against Andorra on Saturday.
Yeah, mate. Yeah, looking forward to getting back on the pitch. It's been quite tough just being on the sidelines for the last couple of weeks, but I've had to follow this concussion protocol to the letter. So head's feeling fine. I don't really want to talk about the game too much, if I'm being honest, because I want to try something different. We've been talking about the game and previewing it and stuff, and obviously I've got a feeling that let's try and do something different and not talk about it too much, and then talk about when we get the W next week, and then we can
let's do a solid review. But let's not dwell on it, or let's not go on it. But are you personally, like, just about you? Are you feeling good? Are you feeling ready for it?
Yeah. Definitely can't wait to meet up with the boys. Horton always put on a good show. They've hosted internationals before. It's a good pitch. And I think out of all the games that we've got in this calendar year, I think this is the one we should be winning with non-negotiable win. And the team that we've put out again is very, very strong, despite Mr. Rory Salmon having a stag do this weekend and taking eight of the national team players with him, which was booked well before the schedule from World Rugby was done. So it wasn't, always looking forward, always love putting the shirt on. Can't wait to get out there.
Nice. Yeah, best of luck, mate. Hopefully, I'm going to try and come down to Horton.
Nice.
Try. I can't guarantee it, depending on what... Like, I've got a million things going on Saturday, but yeah, I really want to come and watch. But we'll see. Jack, what's going on with the rugby league then this weekend?
So, rugby league season starts this weekend. So... the first game this year in the men's league is the Lillestrøm Lions, the reigning champs, are going up to Vik. I think it's Vik, to play Indre Vestlandet in the opening game of the season. So that should be a cracker. Obviously, Indre Vestlandet coming off their debut season last year, and they put one over on Lillestrøm Lions in Lillestrøm last year. Bit of help from some of the lads from Onslow and Sagene, but a win's a win over Lillestrøm, and I'm sure Lillestrøm will be raging about that and want to go and put that right against Mike Pride and Matthew Shaw's boys. So yeah, if you're around Vik, or I'm sure they're promoting the shit out of it around there, so that should be a really good opener to the league season.
I've got a question, Jack, because I haven't really played much competitive rugby league before. But like when I go in as a player, like when I'm thinking about a game, I'm thinking about the tactics, what our game plan is, all that kind of stuff. Rugby league, correct me if I'm wrong, doesn't seem like it has that much in terms of tactics. How do boys get up for a rugby league game? Is it oh, I'm just going to get fired up and get as aggressive as possible, or do you think about a game plan and stuff like that as well? Just out of interest myself, really.
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously a game plan in rugby league, but league is a bit more. You basically have your spine controls everything, and then other people are runners. So a bit like in sevens, where you've got guys are focused on running first, but then there's a guy in the middle who's focused on getting the ball out to them. League's like that. So you've got your hooker, which is like your scrum half, and then your halfbacks, which are like your fly halves. You have a halfback on each side, which is like who organises their side of the pitch. And then you've got the fullback who comes in when they want to come in. So in terms of lads getting up for games, it depends what your role is. Obviously, if you're in the forward pack, your job is to run hard and straight and to twat people. If you're out wide, your job is to run fast, run round people and make your tackles on the outside. And then if you are one of the spine, or as they say in NRL, the spawn, your job is to control the game, and your job is to push your boys around the pitch. So it's a bit like union, in that your halfbacks control it, and everyone else puts the grunt work in. So, I mean, obviously the higher up levels up you go, the more intricate it is. And obviously you've seen in international rugby, well, professional rugby union, international rugby union, especially in Europe, is that the patterns of attack from rugby league have been used the last 5-10 years have come over to rugby union. So people running off a short line and being able to pop it out the back, that comes from rugby league. And then also the defensive systems seem to have come from rugby league as well. So there are nuances and different tactical things that you need to do. But yeah, it leans more on the guys playing halfback and hooker, which is why having a guy who's been there before and has done it and has got experience is invaluable in the league. So if you've got a Christopher Milligan, or if you've got I know Jamal's only young, but he's got a lot of experience in terms of game time playing rugby league. If you've got someone like that who can drive you around the pitch and know what to do and when to kick and what kind of kick to put in at what time is invaluable, basically.
No, that's cool. It's good to know, because obviously watching that game against Svanger Hogason a couple of weeks back, yeah, Milligan was playing in that, and he did seem to be pulling the strings. And like, we looked at their team, we were like, they've got some big boys and stuff like that. But what you're saying now kind of rings true, because he was just basically giving the ball to the right people at the right time, sort of thing. Okay, and these big boys, we're going to lump them up. Okay, they've had a few runs, now we're going to go out wide. And we're always testing it from different areas, so hitting different places, which was interesting to see. But it's a fun game to watch. But I think the reason why I asked the question is because I think personally I've always played in the forwards in rugby league, so I've just thought also got yeah. to just run hard, so it didn't actually feel like it was actually not an interesting game, but an intellectual game. Do you know what I mean? And I don't mean that with
any respect. So I mean, you get that same thing with rugby union, isn't it? You get players who just run around, hit rucks all game. Like, it's not. It just depends where you are in terms of where you are on the pitch. And then at this level, yeah, Norway level, it's not going to be a huge amount of trying to see 5-6 steps ahead in the game. It's more about reacting to what's going on in front of you. And usually there's gaps and bits of things you can exploit. But yeah, it's going to be a really good opening to the season. And Lillestrøm obviously will probably go up there as favourites, depending on how they're travelling. And we'll see what the Indre Vestland boys can do against the reigning champs. It's funny actually, Adam, you talk about league and you talk about the game from you and Haugesund and Stavanger a couple of weeks ago. That wasn't it? 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I've had a bit of feedback actually from that pod and the way our own Adam Jones reacted to that game and what he said about that game, basically. I've got some sources in Haugesund that basically were a bit annoyed that we let you get away with it a bit on the pod.
What
a heavy loss for Stavanger against Haugesund. So I know you said, Adam, that you kind of put out, it wasn't your first team and there was people you kind of didn't care about the score and it was a sort of a warm-up game and all of this kind of stuff. My sources in Haugesund shared some stuff that you didn't share with us on the pod, saying that Haugesund actually only took 13 guys with them. So as opposed to Stavanger, who had a full squad of 17. And I don't know if you know about rugby league, is also rolling subs. So that's 13 against the full squad is a tough old day for those boys, as well as Haugesund having a debutant that had never touched a rugby ball a month ago. So you're telling me about your boys who haven't played a lot.
Listen. This kind of feedback just sums up the cancel culture that we have now. People have taken stuff I've said out of context and for their own narrative, right? Because if you actually play back that pod as well, there was a number of occasions where I said, you can't take anything away from Haugesund. I was so proud and good on them for sticking it to us. And the bit you said about we were putting out a training team, it was you guys who actually gave me a loaded question saying, oh, that wasn't your first team, was it? And then I just agreed. So cancel culture can go and suck my hairy backside. But if I did upset anybody from Haugesund and take away anything from that victory, then I do apologize profusely, because at the end of the day, the better team on the day won. And like I said, one of the reasons why I thought that was because we were soft, we were hitting people but not rapping, so we'd make a tackle and then they make extra yards because they obviously wanted it more, which is good. So yeah, we can put that one to bed, I think.
until the next time you see those boys. So yeah, I just wanted to stand up. I just wanted to, feedback's always welcome on the pod if we miss anything out,
it or is.
If you feel people have got away with something,
yeah,
send a message because we'll take it up. And if I can grill Adam Jones, I'm always happy to do that. So
I'm happy to be grilled. It's all good, you know. I enjoy being a Nutella sandwich, but I'm also enjoy being a pulser as well. So it's all good.
So we've good. It's going to be start to the rugby league season. It's going to be class, like you said before, Jones. We Christian sound the new team in the kind of union competitions this year. Farson have now joined the rugby league.
Nice.
Series. So
are you going to get involved with Farson as well then, do you reckon? You're going to play
I'll see if I'm allowed a few games. My missus doesn't like me playing rugby league, it's a bit, but we'll see. If they need someone, I'm more than happy to go and pair up with Millie and see if we can do some of the more experienced teams. I've got a bone to pick with Sandnes because that was the last rugby league game I played, and I thought we could have won that game and they ran away with it at the end, so I'd quite like to play them again. But yeah, we'll see how it goes. If they probably don't need me, to be honest, looking at their team and the squad numbers they've got and the lads coming through, so I might have to turn up to training a few times and try and train really hard and actually try and get in the team. So we'll see how it goes. But yeah, league season starting properly, it's going to be a good season. We'll see how it goes. All the teams are improving and the new guys in Farson, and we'll see how those kids go with a few more games behind them.
Yeah, best of luck to everyone playing this weekend, and obviously to you and the team, Adam, as well. I think, next week we'll try and do a proper kind of like recap of the Andorra game, and we'll try and get in some match reports on the league as well, see how all that went, and also from the under-18s. Yeah, I think that there'll be a lot to kind of cover in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, sounds good. Exciting times. I'm looking forward to see how they go. Yeah, I think the rugby season in Norway is officially kicked off now, isn't it? So it's exciting. We're back into it. We're back in full swing.
The days are long. The sun's shining every now and again. And the rugby season's started fully. Can't get better than that, can it?
No, mate, it's all good. But, mate, Jack, I was really impressed with you on Saturday, actually, mate. You put in a fucking good shift. I was actually shocked. It was in a very nice way. It was, mate. You were like, a man possessed. He's doing everything. You're just like up, down, everywhere, here, there. So good on you, mate. I know you like to grill me, but I attack it with charm and yeah. Like I said after the game as well. You love to hate me, and I hate to love you. And I think you did really well, mate. I was so proud of you.
Cheers, mate. It means a lot. And hopefully next time we can play against each other.
Yeah. I think though, Jack, you don't want to admit it. I think the reason why you've come out really nasty to me on this pod is because I think the weekend we became friends. I think
we were friends long before.
Yeah, we were, but we've never really actually been in a bar or having a beer together. And I think it was at one point I might have even said it. Did we just become best friends?
Yeah.
from stepbrothers or something like that. It was great. It was just having it was quite cool. Like, because I love about being around those when the rugby community comes together. Because obviously the pod's got a bit of traction now, and it's just I love the fact because everyone knows because I've got quite a different voice to you boys. But everyone it seemed like the most questions that you two get are. Oh, you the knobhead from the pod.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All the time. Because no one knows what Tom looks like. But I always answer for one there. I always go, no, that's Tom. That's the other one.
I think one time we need to do like a podcast where we actually like full on record ourselves. Like we actually do a video recording just so people can put like a face to the name or a face to the voice. Because yeah, I'm sick of being like, are you that dickhead? It's either Adam or Tom that they're on about.
You never know, mate. They might not be talking about Tom. They might be talking about me. They might think I'm the knobhead. So we'll see. So you know, you never know. You never know. Yeah. But yeah,
we'll have to start a poll or something. Yeah, we'll have to start a poll.
We'll have to put a parental warning on that one though for the kids. You don't want them watching us. On camera, there's a reason why we're podding and not doing not doing a TV show.
No, there's a guy Tom Hogan from Sandnes who comes and trains with Stavanger. He was telling me the other day, like he started listening back because we didn't put a pod out for a couple of weeks. So he says, "Oh, I was really bored." So he has to travel from Homosok to Sandnes, which is like a 40-minute drive. So he always has the pod on in the car. And the girls, he's got five girls, and four of them play rugby, and they're so bored of the pod because he just loves listening to it. So a big shout out to Tom, and if he's in the car now. To the girls, I'm sorry, but we're giving you a big shout out to all Tom, all the Hogan girls. Keep listening. Don't get too bored. Daddy loves you.
A massive shout out to all the six listeners of the pod. Fantastic.
That's doubling our listenership. That is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Three of them are us.
Oh, right, boys. Best of luck. Best of luck with all the rugby this weekend. To you, Adam, and to everyone else listening. And let's catch up next week.
Cheers.
Bye, mate.